Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Zach Gaddy, Director of Defense Finance and Accounting Service. And joining us in our conversation is Chuck Pro. Well, Zach, let's start by talking about the strategic direction of DFAS. I understand there are five strategic targets that you're currently working on. What are they and how did they come about?
Yes, you're right. We recently published our new strategic plan that has those five strategic targets listed. It starts off with probably the most important one, and that is pay service members the right amount on payday. We believe that pay of people is the most crucial role that we play, and we have to make sure that we're doing a better job there. Another target, however, we've come up with is helping the Department of Defense achieve an unqualified audit opinion in its financial statements. And what I like to tell people sometimes is, while that's a great target, some people will ask me, why do I care about that? And my answer to them is, you know, we're trying to improve our underlying processes so that we can deliver the right kind of information to people. And as a byproduct of that, it's auditable. And so you can help achieve or sustain an unqualified audit opinion. And right now, one of the barriers to that, of course, is DoD financial reporting. As long as we don't have the unqualified audit opinion, then there's always some question in someone's mind about the credibility of the financial reporting we do and what we do with the resources that are provided to DoD. Another area we're concentrating on is applying electronic commerce to our commercial pay business area. In the past, we've done an admirable job, I believe, of reducing interest penalty payments and loss discounts, which are very important to our customers. But in my opinion, the real benefit or the real money that we can save is looking at those processes that we use to make those payments and go from what's largely a manual process to an electronic process because the rates are much lower, the cost is much lower, and we should in turn save the customer quite a bit of money. And as a byproduct, not have lost discounts or not incur in interest penalty payments because the processes are automated and are flowing instead of people having to have, you know, backlogs of transactions. Another area that we're concentrating on is something called business intelligence. We need to help this department, as you know, has many databases, many sources of information. There is no single source of truth out there. Oftentimes, the financial reports that we do provide are static, meaning they're after the fact. They're autopsies of something that's occurred in the past. So what we need to do as an organization is help provide business intelligence to people on a near real-time basis. And business intelligence goes beyond just giving them report information. It's actually going the step where you take data and information and apply heuristics to it to make it, you know, garner from it whatever you can. So like, where do you spend your money? Why do you spend it to the rate you spend it? What are you buying with it? You know, all the kind of things that when you look at today, you may say, did I obligate the money? In reality is, what did I acquire with it? What value did I earn from the resources provided? And that is a big leap, and that's going to be a big challenge for us. The fifth area that we're concentrating on, because the things that I just described can't happen if we don't have the right people to do the job. So we have a human capital strategy or focus that says, do we have the right person in the right job at the right time? That's very consistent, as you probably know, with the President's management agenda. And at the same time, we recognize that succession planning and all those kind of things have to take place for us as an agency, because there are a lot of things changing out there for us, whether it's the systems or technology we use, whether it's the roles that we play. You know, all those things tell me that we have a big challenge ahead of us to make sure we have the right workforce to do the mission I just described.
You've talked earlier in the first segment, I know from doing some research, that customer service is a really important thing at DFAS. And what I'm curious about is, how do you think about customer service when the customer's needs are always changing, and now even more than maybe in the past?
That's an interesting question. There was a change not too long ago that I became aware of, and how to measure that. I mean, we typically do the customer service surveys every year. We actually have OPM perform an independent survey. We also go out and approach our customers all the time, asking them how we're doing. That's what I'll call the traditional approach to measuring customer service. What I learned about probably in last year was an approach where if you're a service provider or a partner with someone, the way that you measure customer service is how well are you helping them achieve their strategic goals and objectives. And that's kind of where we're trying to go with this, where everyone in DoD and within the government, as a matter of fact, is doing something called transformation. Our job, I believe, as a support organization within DoD is to understand what transformation means to this department and ensure that we are enabling our customers, our clients, to transform. As a result of that, we will transform ourselves. We have to. And so whether it's technology, whether it's the customer not wanting something that they used to want, doesn't really matter. It's just that we just have to understand all the moving parts here, and there are many of them. You know, but I think ultimately, I don't know how to measure that yet, but one of my goals is to be able to go to a customer and say, did we help you achieve your strategic objectives or your transformation goals? If we did, then I'll know we're successful.
Zach, you've already discussed the move from a paper-based environment to an electronic environment. Now, how is DFAS facilitating electronic transfer between yourself and your vendors?
Well, right now, that's probably a big area of focus for us. As I mentioned, we have a strategic target that looks at applying electronic commerce within our commercial pay arena. We have embraced something called wider workflow within DoD. That's a new approach where we have the vendors submit their invoices electronically. The receivers of goods and services submit their receiving report, receipt and acceptance electronically. We can mass it up internally to our systems with obligating documents so that we can do a matching of information to do the entitlement and then a payment. I think electronic commerce, whether we use the Defense Business Exchange or DebEx, or whether we use technology like wider workflow in conjunction with something called our DFAS corporate database, there are ways we can go host to host with transactions that today people are using faxes and emails and other ways, you know, to send information back and forth, that we ought to be doing system to system and let the system do things that we have people doing today so that we can free people up to do more valuable things, like make sure the process is working and make sure that we are taking advantage of, you know, cost-favorable discounts and things of that nature, as opposed to literally bringing documents together on a screen. We use EDM, electronic document management, to do that. But that's just, to me, a stopgap to where we really need to be, and that's where we use electronic commerce.
Zach, DFAS is often cited as the only government agency to achieve a clean audit opinion. How did this occur?
Well, I'd like to say it was just, you know, a natural byproduct of great systems and people. And the reality is it took a lot of hard work. Part of it was simply having an audit organization that we could partner with to identify what are the, you know, hurdles that we have to overcome to achieve an unqualified audit opinion. I mean, people may think they're doing their job and they're doing it well, but when the auditors walk in and find things that you're not doing as well as you should, or your internal controls are not as tight as you thought, then it's pretty easy to find out that you got some holes in your processes. It took a lot of training of our workforce. It took a yeoman's effort on the part of a lot of people to pull together all the documentation to support why we had a valid audit trail for the information that we were reporting. And it took a strong collaboration between the auditor, the management officials, as well as the people doing the work day in and day out. Our goal in FY05 is to make sure that, you know, we've already had 4 years of an unqualified audit opinion. We implemented a new system last year, which, you know, creates some change and perturbations in the process. So our goal in 05 is to make sure we even streamline the process and we make it easier and more systematic for this unqualified audit opinion not to take quite as much effort on the part of many players.
You've already described human capital as one of your priorities. What is your plan to recruit, train, and retain employees?
Well, that's a good question, because right now I'd say that's probably one of our biggest hurdles as an agency. When I looked at our demographics and saw that about two-thirds of our workforce today is eligible to retire through normal, what they call optional retirement or early retirement, and by the end of 2011, almost all of us will be eligible to retire, that just tells me we have a big undertaking ahead of us, just looking at the age or the demographics of the workforce. Introduce on top of that new technology coming. You've all probably heard of the Business Management Modernization Program. So new technology is coming our way in terms of systems and capabilities that we have to train people on so that we do work differently than we do it today. And the other event that everyone's probably familiar with is something called Base Realignment Closure, or BRAC. We'll know the results of BRAC next year, and the final vote will be taken in November of 2005, so we'll know what BRAC means to us. But what I think it will mean is fewer locations than what we're currently at. And so that'll cause changes in the workforce. We'll be realigning work from where it is today to more than likely fewer locations. End result of all of these things is we just have to have a very aggressive human capital strategy so that we have the right people doing the right job at the right time. So training and development is critical for the current workforce, as well as our recruitment strategy to bring in new talent where we need it. And that's where we've embarked upon a national recruiting strategy. On the training and development of the current workforce, we are creating what we call a skills database. So we'll know where people are, what skills they have, what skills do we require, what are the gaps, so that we can target our training to those gaps and filling those gaps. So whether it's on-the-job training, career broadening assignments, technical training, whatever it is, you know, we can get people the right training so that we know we're spending our training dollars wisely. Succession planning is also a key aspect of this, because if you look downstream at a workforce that in the next 4 or 5 years, in essence, could retire, I'm not saying they all will, but I think a sizable number probably will, what are we going to do to replace the leaders we have today? You can't recruit them today and have them ready to go in 4 or 5 years throughout the whole organization. So we have to look at new people coming in, mid-career people as well as senior people, so we have a mid-career as well as senior level succession planning. And that's all part of our human capital strategy.
That's interesting and quite challenging. What are the management challenges of simultaneously consolidating systems, yet preserving the functions unique to the different military services? We'll ask DFAS Director Zach Gaddy to take us through this when the Business of Government Hour returns.